Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, a delight to be in studio as we take your questions as they come in from all over the world. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We have an award-winning magazine. It's called the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe to the journal on the web at equip.org. And the current edition, the very new current edition of the Christian Research Journal, I wrote an article on incarnation, answering the question as to whether incarnation is logically incoherent. And what I point out is that the more I contemplate incarnation, the more staggered my imagination. The very thought that the one who spoke and 100 billion galaxies leapt into existence should cloak himself in human flesh is, well, it's unthinkable. To imagine that the one who knit me together in my mother's womb would himself inhabit Mary's womb quite simply boggles my mind. And yet, that is precisely what Christianity proffers. A creator who has revealed himself in creation. Think about the fact that God spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore men are without excuse. But that creator that we can know of through creation revealed himself in incarnation. And thus, God has become knowable. Now, to the Allah of Islam, this is nothing short of blasphemous. The whole idea of incarnation is ridiculed. For followers of the Muslim Allah, the incarnation of Jesus Christ entails, well, it entails the gravest of all sins. They call it the sin of shirk, the unforgivable sin. And thus, while Muslims readily affirm the sinlessness of Christ, they dogmatically deny the incarnation as both insulting to the majesty of Allah and logically incoherent. The question is it really incoherent? While many issues surrounding the incarnation, such as the precise modes of interaction between Christ's divine nature and his human nature, may transcend human understanding, the doctrine of incarnation does not transgress the laws of logic. And it is, as I alluded to earlier, more than intoxicating to reflect on the reality that as Christ is incarnate in the image of humankind, so humanity in Christ is being refashioned in the image of God. As Athanasius of Alexandria, who was widely regarded as the greatest theologian of his time, has well said, he was made man, that we might be made God. or as Peter put it, that we might partake or participate in the divine nature. This, of course, is not to say that we, though redeemed, possess God's incommunicable attributes. For who among us can claim self-existence, immutability, eternality, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, absolute sovereignty? God is eternal. Humanity was created at a point in time and has but a brief mortal existence on earth. God has life in himself, but man is dependent on God to sustain him. God is all-powerful, but man is weak. God all-knowing, but we are limited in knowledge. God is everywhere present, but we as human beings are confined to a single space in time. And as far from being reproductions of God, human beings are more correctly portrayed as reflections of God. In fact, it is liberating for believers to revel in the reality that in the consummation of all things, God will completely restore the icon in fallen humanity, the imago Dei in us. And had the incarnate Christ not come in the image and the likeness of humanity, there would be no hope for humanity to be refashioned in the imago Dei. This again from my article. The article is in the Christian Research Journal, Equipping You in Doctrine, Defense, and Discernment. If you have not as yet subscribed, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Brian in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Great. So my question, I'm a Christian, first of all, and I accept the scripture where it says, in the beginning, God, the one who has no beginning and no end. My challenge is explaining that concept to my friends who look at things from the perspective of everything has a beginning and more than likely an end. I'm having a challenge articulating that to my friends and family. So I need your help on that. How would I explain to my friends and family that our Creator, the one that we love and regard as God, has no beginning and certainly no end?
The first thing that I would point out is the obvious fact that for someone who is an atheist or someone who doesn't believe in God, they are relegated to the notion that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces metaphysical realities like sex and spirit. So they're relegated to a very untenable position. It is true as Christians that we hold to the notion that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. That's true with respect to the created universe, but there's nothing that says that that is true with respect to the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the uncaused first cause. And that is what we posit God to be. So unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal, and therefore an infinite eternal being can logically be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. And then to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe must have had a cause simply leads to a logical dead end. Now, I've also pointed out, and I wrote about this in a book called The Creation Answer Book, I've pointed out that simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion, that it didn't spring out of nothing, and that it has not eternally existed. So the only plausible possibility that remains is that the universe was made by an unmade cause greater than itself, which is precisely what what Christianity posits. So the laws that govern the universe don't govern the one who spoke in the universe, came into being. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I have written about this in some detail in a book called The Creation Answer Book, also a book called The Farce of Evolution. You can find both of them on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants as well. They're standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We'll come back with answers to your questions. I do want to mention something on transgenderism and something that I alluded to earlier in a broadcast about Brown University, which has now silenced research on transgenderism from one of their own faculty members. I'll talk about that when we come back from the break and more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
If you're only seeing one movie all year, this should be it. The inspirational Paul, Apostle of Christ, is an absolute must-see for every Christian, bringing the living word of Scripture to the screen like never before. To receive Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. InterVarsity, one of the largest collegiate associations in the country, has been derecognized on a growing number of college campuses for believing in traditional morals. In 2014, Brendan Eich, CEO of Mozilla and creator of JavaScript, was forced from his position just for having donated $1,000 to California's Proposition 8, a ballot initiative limiting marriage to a man and a woman. A plethora of such examples demonstrate that a tsunami of secularism has been unleashed, and we've not yet seen its high watermark. To equip you for the days ahead, read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Thank you. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As I was mentioning just before we went to break, and we'll be going back to your calls in just a moment, 888-ASK-HANK, is that Brown University has silenced research on transgenderism from one of its own faculty members. This, an article by Brianna Helt in Town Hall. And you might recall that the professor of behavioral and social sciences, Lisa Littman, indicated that the onset of gender dysphoria may be due more to peer pressure and to internet influence than to biological factors. Her research was published in the highly regarded peer-reviewed scientific journal PLOS ONE, PLOSONE, all caps. And since the publication of the study, Brown has removed news about Littman's research from its website. The university's dean of the School of Public Health, Bess Marcus, admitted that Littman's results could be used to discredit efforts to support transgender youth and invalidate the perspectives of members of the transgender community. So Brown Universe has discredited its own peer-reviewed report. Why? Because of PC pressure. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jim in Monterey, California. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Hank, and I'm going to have to point out that I don't have radio access. In fact, today marks 3 years exactly that I've been hospitalized in the same facility, so I'm going to have to take my answer from you on the phone line.
Okay.
But I've been thrilled reading your Apocalypse Code and your novel, The Last Disciple, but I'm wondering about the identity of the false prophet in Revelation. I know that the beast has to be Nero. And I'm also wondering exactly when did John write Revelation? Was it actually after the tribulation began, or did he write before it began?
No, you know, the arguments for the early dating of the Gospel of John, as well as his Apocalypse, which is his expanded Olivet Discourse. If you look at the Synoptic Gospels, they all have Olivet Discourses. The Gospel of John does not. So Revelation is his expanded Olivet Discourse. All of them were written early, long before the tribulation began. And if you look at the Apocalypse Code, it gives some very, very compelling reasons why. But with respect to the land beast or the false prophet, you have two beasts, right? You have the sea beast, which you alluded to, but you also have a land beast, and that land beast is analogous to the false prophet. And there are a lot of reasons I would say that. First of all, let me point out that what you have here is a story about a persecuted church, a prostituted church, and ultimately a perfected church. But the land beast is actually the apostate Israel. And Israel is given a choice to worship Christ or worship Caesar. And the Jews cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." In other words, Israel aligned herself with Caesar and the Roman Empire rather than with Christ and his bride, the church. And of course, the land which was once a land of promise had become a land of prostitution. And that's why I refer to the persecuted bride and then the prostituted bride. And of course, the imagery that John uses, he uses the imagery of a beast coming out of the sea, and out of the earth, I should say, and that beast had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. And this imagery, again, is rich because false prophets come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So the first beast is the agent of the dragon, agent of the devil, and the second beast ends up becoming an agent of Rome. And so, again, there's a corollary between the sea beast and the Roman Empire, both a person, Nero, and an empire, and then the land beast, which is, again, people, false prophets, and an empire that aligns itself, apostate Israel that aligns itself or rides the beast. So referred to in Revelation 17 as the woman that rides the beast. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Ryan quickly in Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to ask you, I'm going through a tough time with our family. Like, my aunt has been diagnosed with lung cancer, and now they said it spread to her liver. And I don't know where she's at, like, with the Lord. Like, I know she believes in Jesus and stuff, but some of the other things she said have been concerning about, like, you know, how Mormons have a different Jesus and Jehovah's Witness and, as well. So I just want to, I'm supposed to speak to her tonight on the phone, and I just want to really love her, and just, it's, I've been really upset. Like, I'm emotional, so I'm not good with that stuff, and I just want to know how I could lovingly share the gospel with her to...
Yeah.
Hopefully God will use that to really convict her while she's in the hospital right now, because I don't know what's happening. She has an official diagnosis tomorrow.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I've always said this, that we have to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And if we're ready, God will give us opportunities. So I don't think in this case or any other case we have to force feed anyone, but we do need to be ready to take every opportunity and use it as a springboard for sharing the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to a human heart. One of the great things about cancer, and I can tell you that as someone who has gone through a battle with cancer since April 15th of 2017, is that the illness of the body provides the opportunity to cure another illness, which is the illness of the soul. In other words, when you are faced with your own mortality, so often you deal with the greater things in life, and those things in life have to do with your relationship with God. And so hopefully this will open your is this a family member or a friend?
Yeah, it's my aunt.
Oh, your aunt. Yeah, so it'll open an opportunity for you to share with your aunt. But again, I don't think that you need to feel like you have to force feed anyone. You need to be ready. And the Lord has prepared you. Now, when you have an opportunity, you know, give an answer. And if you don't have an answer, be really honest. Say, you know what, that's something I haven't thought through, but I do want to think it through and come back and give you an answer. And in that way, you become an ever more effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
I just feel like such a burden that it's like if I don't share something and then something happens to her and she doesn't know the truth, and I know it's not my responsibility.
Well, it's your responsibility to be ready, right? It's your and willing, but it's not your responsibility to change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So now you're an ambassador of the Holy Spirit. So don't take a pressure upon yourself that is not yours to bear. That is the province of the Holy Spirit. Your province is simply to be there and be available. And I am sure with your deep compassion and the motivation that God has given you, God will use you in this circumstance.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, Ryan. God bless you. I mean, these are difficult circumstances, but look, when we are healthy and when we're wealthy and when we're in good shape, so often we don't think about the things that are most important. And when we have difficulties physically, the illness of the body oftentimes opens the floodgates to solving the illnesses of the soul. I'm going to be talking on a podcast with a person that I met in Crete. My wife was reading his book, A Theology of Illness. I've now read it this weekend, and it is an absolutely fantastic resource. I'm going to be talking to him about that on a future edition of Hank Unplugged. If you've never listened to Hank Unplugged, you can find all of the editions, and there are many, on the web at equip.org. You can also go to iTunes, and if you love the podcast, give us a 5-star rating. As always, Monday through Friday, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference in the lives of people. Quite frankly, you probably won't know this side of eternity. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So do what you do with perspective of eternity in mind. See you again tomorrow.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.